This episode is brought to you by Acorn TV.
I am loving being sponsored by Acorn because now when I stay up all night watching television, I'm actually doing research.
How clever. And so what are you watching now? What are you researching now?
Well, thank you. Right now I'm researching My Life is Murder, which I mean, another detective who is shocked. But it is I would call this a detective comedy drama. And it is with Lucy Lawless.
Love her.
Love her. And she is a former detective getting pulled back into cases. And Lucy Lawless is one of the most watchable people in the whole world.
She has it.
She has it. It's just terrific. It's so terrific. Yeah. And the character not only solves crimes, but likes to bake bread. So really has everything I love.
So you out there, sign up for a 30-day free trial with promo code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. Do you give toasts that are too long? Do you hold photos hostage? Do you play music loudly in public? Were you raised by wolves? Let's find out.
Here are things that can make it better when we have to live together. We can all use a little help. Some people don't ask themselves, were you raised by wolves?
Hey everybody, it's Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're in New York today, and let's just get right down to it.
Let's get in it.
So for today's Amuse-Bouche, I want to talk about this thing where we put trees on top of skyscrapers. So have you ever noticed at a construction site that sometimes you'll see a tree at the top of the scaffolding? Have you ever noticed this?
You know, I have noticed this.
Yeah. And you're like, what is that about?
I immediately assume it's a Christmas shout out.
Okay. It is not.
Oh.
It's called a topping tree. And this is actually a very ancient tradition. And so this dates back to potentially the year 700 in Scandinavia. And there are different theories about how this started, but one of the ideas is that we are all of trees. We come from trees. We will return to trees when we die. And so trees have our spirit in them. And so when you cut down trees to make a house, you want to sort of honor that. And so the idea was we would put a tree on top of the building to sort of honor the spirits or maybe appease them who might be a little upset that we cut some down and like cleared some land. And so this is where this started. So it was to kind of appease the forest gods for what we had just done. And this spread throughout Europe and then made its way over to North America. And now we do it today. And now we do it on major skyscrapers and bridges and ironworks and things like that.
Oh, wow.
Right?
I had no idea. I like it. It's like an offering, a thank you to the trees.
Yeah. So it's sort of a good luck thing. It's sort of maybe a superstition thing, like symbolizing bringing life into the building. Sometimes it's only done when there was no fatal accidents at the construction site. So sometimes the tradition is like, oh, we only do the tree if this was a safe job. And then another explanation that I got, which I kind of also like, is that at the end of the day, nature still triumphs man. Like despite all of our accomplishments, despite reaching for the heavens with our scaffolding, that at the end of the day, nature does triumph. So I kind of like this concept too.
It's beautiful.
That's why we put the tree on it.
The one about they only put it up if nobody died on the is a little sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, oh no, every time I don't see a tree, I'm going to have to be like, oh no, what happened
here? Yeah, I don't know how typical that is, but I know that is a thing that is done.
Wow.
But that's the topping tree.
It's so interesting. I really just thought people left their Christmas trees up.
Nope. It's a topping tree. And we're back. And now it's time to go deep.
Very deep.
So let's raise a glass, Leah. And let's talk about giving a good toast.
Fantastic. I feel like you have extraordinary skills.
Oh? Well, you've never actually seen me give a toast, have you?
I just, you know when you know something deep inside okay. of yourself?
I just have that je ne sais quoi.
I feel it with every essence of my being.
Have you ever given a toast?
I haven't given a toast. I've been master of ceremonies at people's weddings.
Okay. I can see you being very good at this.
So I feel like I've been a
stand-up comic.
You know, I've married people.
Right.
I've done the weddings.
Officiant.
I was a wedding officiant. So I feel like, you know, but that's not exactly the same.
No. I'm talking about we are asked to give a toast at some occasion. Maybe it's a dinner party. Maybe it's a wedding. And how to do this in a good way. because if you look at YouTube and you look at bad toasts, this is a genre.
I bet that is an incredible hole to go down on YouTube.
So I enjoy giving toasts. Surprisingly, I'm not asked to give toasts that often. And I got to say, my toasts, I'd like to think, are quite good. Oh, I don't know. Maybe
I know they are.
Maybe they're not good, which is why I don't get asked back.
Maybe but, you didn't get asked back because it made everybody else feel inadequate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess a couple of thoughts I had when I was thinking about this topic. The first is that you need to know your strengths. Like, some people are not good with humor, in which case, don't try and be funny. No, I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Oh, I know. I know you do, but it's very true.
Yeah. Like, just know your strengths. You know, if you're not a witty person, you know, a good turn of phrase, great with a funny anecdote, like, if that's just not you, know thyself. And don't try and do a toast that does not highlight your strengths. So when in doubt, always lean towards sincerity instead of humor.
Oh,
I think that is a good baseline.
I would agree. Especially I've seen things at work situations where people were obviously trying to be funny, but they don't know where that line is between what's a joke and what just comes off as...
What's an HR complaint?
Yeah. Just like insulting because they couldn't really land it. And you're like, oh no.
Yeah. So we don't want that. Yeah. If people are cringing during your toast.
Or crying.
Or crying. Not in a good way. Yeah. So I think know your strengths and kind of just think about it in that way. Maybe we don't want to like be funny. And then the other thing with toast is some people think it's like, oh, I'm going to tell a story. But that's not really actually what a toast is. A toast is you're making some point about the couple or the occasion. And you want to think about like, what is the point I'm trying to make? And then you maybe want to share a story that illustrates that point. But the point of the toast is not the story itself. It's not just like that time we got drunk in college and right. Like, oh, I never thought you would meet somebody. Like, that's not what we want. So you want to think about, okay, for this toast, I want to emphasize that I think this couple is such a great pairing. And here is an example of why I've arrived at this conclusion. And then that's what your toast is about. But the point of the toast is that you really believe that they are simpatico. So that is the way I would think about how to do the toast.
It's very similar to a nice paper where you have, you know, your thesis is.
Yes.
You're going to keep in line with the thesis. You may have some great things you want to say on the topic. Doesn't fit in the thesis.
Yeah. Yeah. What a 5-paragraph essay. Here's what I'm going to talk about. Here, no, don't do that, actually.
I'm going to start with it. I'm going to highlight it. I'm going to close it out back on it.
But also, I think you want to remember that you are taking the audience on a journey from A to B. So B is the point you want to make. And then that journey is how you get there. But your story is not just a series of chronological events. Anybody can just give you a list of things that happen at a timeline. That's not what we want from your toast. We actually want you to go from moment to moment or emotion to emotion. Like, I don't want event to event. That's like storytelling 2.0, but I feel like our audience is ready for this level.
I feel like our audience is ready for this level too.
Yeah. So in your toast, you want to think about not just reciting just sort of a series of events, but like, how did you feel about those events? And that is much more persuasive to, I think, the people you're talking to.
I think some people get very nervous speaking.
Sure.
Publicly.
Sure.
And a few very easy tips with that is... always speak slower than you think you need to speak.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Because when people get nervous, they tend to speak faster.
Yeah.
And what could feel like days for you was 30 seconds.
True. That's true. Although on the flip side, I think your toast should be no more than 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying, you know, and then write 8 pages. I'm saying just don't be like, and then they met in the sign and then I did this and then it was, you know, if you can't enunciate it,
right.
People can't join in your enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Just saying that because I believe in our audience that they...
I have faith in our audience.
Speak clearly.
Yes. Elocution. Yes. Also, another thing is don't wing it. Don't wing it.
Mm-mm.
Give some thought. Give some thought about what you want to say, but don't write it out word for word. That's like death. When you like whip out a piece of paper that has it written word for word, like no one wants to hear you read your toast.
I mean, what do you think if they need to write it out word for word at home for themselves?
Sure. If you want to organize your thoughts at home, no problem. But I think the most you would want in your pocket would be bullet points to remind yourself like how you're going to get from A to B.
Yeah.
But once we start reading like, I met Chad and Lisa 5 years ago and it was so wonderful to... No one wants that.
I know sometimes I'll get nervous about names. I could know your name for my whole life. And then if I got nervous about it, I'd forget it while staring at your face. It's just how my lovely anxiety works. So when I've had to say anything that wasn't quite a toast, but in this line, you know, because you don't want to write it all out, I will have their people's names written somewhere in case I have to look.
The people who are getting married?
No. I mean to say it's a job.
Oh, okay.
And you want to make sure you said thank you to somebody. And in your mind, you're like, what if I forget?
Oh, okay.
I say their name wrong, you know?
Oh, sure.
Sometimes it works to just have it written out somewhere. Then you don't get nervous because you think, I can always look.
Right. And there are other occasions for toasts than just weddings. So like, let's say you're at a dinner party or it's a job thing or whatever. These can be very short. Just, you know, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's so great to have everybody gathered around the same table. Here's to another great year. That's great. Short and sweet.
I love it. Love it. I think what you said earlier about as long as you say it sincerely.
Yes. Sincerity rules the day. And then I guess another thought I had written down is don't get drunk. Don't be drunk. Don't give a drunk toast.
solid point.
Well, I feel like it has to be mentioned because, you know, on the YouTube, a lot of those bad toasts, they might have been a couple drinks in.
Yeah, just wait until after your toast is done.
Exactly, yes. And I'm sorry if all the toasts are at the end of the evening, but that it would be better for your toast, yes. And then the last thing just to mention is that you should bring your glass with you. Because very often the toast involves raising a glass at the end to whoever you're toasting or whatever you're toasting. And so make sure you have your glass with you.
That is such a good point.
And as we recall from a previous episode, you do not need to have alcohol in that glass. It is fine to toast with water.
I love that you said that.
But you should have a glass of something because when you don't, that's very strange.
You're just raising
your hand.
High five. High five.
And also a reminder, when you are being toasted, you do not raise your glass. Do not toast yourself. Allow the toast to wash over you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Incogni. And what Incogni does is basically helps get your personal information off of the internet.
What's so funny is that before Incogni ever approached us, Nick has been telling me to get online and do this because I never Google myself. I never look at anything. I don't have the bandwidth. And my incorrect age is floating out there.
Right. Yeah. There are serious consequences. Yes. So I've helped Leah sign up and it is very easy to sign up. You basically just like sign up and you give them permission to reach out to data brokers on your behalf. And then they just like take care of it. They reach out, they request all this information to be deleted. They report back to you, let you know how it's going. And like, that's it. And so Incogni has an amazing deal for our listeners. Get an exclusive 60% discount. 60. That's a lot. So go to incogni.com/WYRBW. That's incogni.com/WYRBW. And now it's time for an intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Acorn TV.
And Acorn TV is thousands of hours. And when I say thousands, let me tell you that I cannot wait to watch every single one of those hours. Thousands of hours of commercial-free British television, and that includes Australian, Irish, Scottish, Canadian. And speaking of...
Yes, so I actually just started with season 1, episode 1 of Murdoch Mysteries because everybody's talking about like, oh, how popular it is and how much they love it. And I was like, I got to see what this is about. And it is so charming. It takes place in turn of the century Toronto. And obviously there are some mysteries and everybody has great hair. That was like my big takeaway. It was like, wow, everybody has great hair in this episode. And new episodes drop every Monday.
I love that. I'm like, I love the mystery. And you're like, I love their hair.
There's something for everybody. So you out there, you can watch Murdoch Mysteries with code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. And we're back. And now it's time to take some questions from you guys in the wilderness.
Ow!
So our first question is, quote, am I wrong here? Always a good start.
Yeah, I underline that. Thank you for letting us know.
I was taught that cash never goes on the counter. You hand it directly to the person. My husband, however, apparently thinks this is totally fine. This came up because I had to be out of the house this morning, and I asked my husband to pay the housekeeper. When I came home, there was a wad of cash just sitting on the countertop in the kitchen. I asked why he didn't just hand it to her, and he explained that he had been on a call for work, and because he wasn't sure of her exact arrival time, thought it would be better to just leave it for her to pick up instead of having to interrupt his call. I think you can say excuse me to the meeting and take a minute to say thank you and hand some cash to someone who's working hard. But if that's not possible, shouldn't you at least put it in an envelope with her name on it with a thank you note instead of just tossing a rather large wad of cash onto the counter? So?
I love that it starts. I'm going to say again, am I wrong here? You know, I want to know in which direction we're reading the question.
I think that it is nice to hand money to someone and say thank you. Like, I think that's nice, right?
Yeah. I also, in a purchasing situation, let me say, at the store, you know, when you're shopping, I don't know who told me this, but it is in my brain somewhere that I always hand it, that I don't put it down, that it's somehow rude that somebody would then have to collect it up off the counter.
Okay.
So there is that. I do think that the way we hand people money back and forth now is going to be slightly different because of COVID.
Okay.
People might not want to take cash directly.
Okay.
Out of other people's hands. In this circumstance, I think it's fine to, if you're on a phone call, you're leaving for somebody, I would put it the cash in an envelope and write a little note. I'm on a call, wanted to leave this for you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think the thrust of the question is whether or not I'm just leaving a wad of cash on a countertop, just willy-nilly, just blowing in the breeze, or...
I don't even know how a person would know that's for them.
Right. So I think that's the main question. This is like, you know, I think most people, if they just see a cash laying out on the counter, is not thinking, oh, that's for me.
Yeah, but I do think it's fine to not come off the call, but I think there needs to be a note.
Yes. I mean, I think in general, we want to... at least have an envelope with the cash.
Yeah.
With the person's name on it.
Yes.
I think that's a nice baseline. If you want to write a note on that envelope, thank you so much. That would be nice.
You know me, I love a note.
Right. So whether or not it needs to be in a card, a handwritten note, I mean, that might be a little far. But I think something in between cash flown out on the countertop and a formal ceremony.
Yeah, I think just pop those bad boys in an envelope.
Yeah. Now, I feel like if it's a check, I feel like leaving a check out without an envelope is somehow different, right?
It does feel different. I would still put a little sticky on there with a note, though.
Yes, I like a sticky on a check. Also, for some reason, even though there's not a lot of breeze in my apartment, I would always put a check under something, like under a candle. Thinking,
what if these fly away? But there's no right. Air movement in here. We live in New
but
York.
I would always put, I would definitely put the check like under a paperweight or something, you know, just FYI. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's how I would handle this. Let's not leave cash out totally unattended. Let's create a little identification around it.
Yeah. So it's very clear. This is for you.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Great. Our next question is, what do you do about people who hold photos hostage? For example, someone who takes a group photo of you and says, oh, I'll send it to you. Okay. I mean, is this a Kodak Advantix camera that we have to send the film away for processing?
Like, I think people do say, oh, I'll email you this when I get home. And then now you can just say, hey, let's airdrop it.
Yeah. I don't feel like anything has to happen once we get home.
Yeah. I think you can always say, oh, while we're still thinking about it, let's just airdrop it right now.
Yeah. But let's say that that doesn't happen. How do we follow up? Is it the same rules about like the person who didn't pay for brunch who needs to like still Venmo you? Like what, how do we address this photo hostage situation?
If you have a photo that I really want.
Yeah.
When I get home that day, I'm going to text you. Had a great time. Can you text me that photo? Loved it so much. Thanks.
And then I say, yeah, no problem. And then I don't.
What? You are sinister. The idea that you would respond no problem and then not do it, I would then have to be like, is something else happening?
This is a hostage situation. Yeah.
Is there something else going on that I don't know about?
Okay. Yeah. So there must be something else happening. Otherwise, like, why wouldn't you just send the photo? Right.
Yeah. If I've already asked you, I would ask politely, like say something up top about how fun it was, remind them of the picture. Sometimes people forgot. Thank them in advance for sending it. And then if it doesn't come back, there's something else happening.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, what is the problem?
Yeah. Why would somebody hold a photo? Unless it was the ugliest photo in the world of the person who took the picture.
Or they're protecting your feelings. Maybe it's such a horrible photo of you, and I don't want to send it to you because I don't want you to be upset.
I'm going to guess. I already checked that picture when you took it the first time. And I was like, ooh, I love that photo. Send it to me.
I see. You have unlimited photo kills in your contract. Okay. So, okay. So I guess we want the photo in the moment. That's the ideal situation. Do not let this become a hostage situation. But if it is...
And if it does, you follow up real quick.
Right. And if it's still a problem, then this is not about the photo.
This is not about the photo.
Okay, great. Our next question is, quote, "My boyfriend is always trying to do things with the best intentions, but sometimes I feel like he goes too far and actually inconveniences me or the people we are with. For example, if we order an Uber, he greatly anticipates its arrival and is on constant lookout for it. And when he sees it, he will start to walk down the sidewalk and sometimes into the street to grab its attention. His intention is to help the driver find us, but I believe they will be able to follow their GPS to our marked spot just fine. And a simple wave from the sidewalk is sufficient to get their attention. So in doing this, I feel like he's inconveniencing me and others by making us now walk down the street to meet the car when it could have just pulled up in front of us."
I was looking forward to hearing what you had to say about this one.
Really?
Yep.
I like the attempt that someone's trying to be considerate.
Yes.
So my first thought is, let us not squelch that behavior. Let us not extinguish that flame. We want to encourage the bonfire of consideration here. So we want that to grow. We want this behavior for the boyfriend. We might need to modify it. But I think we want to not make the boyfriend feel bad for trying to be considerate. That's like my first thought.
I agree. It's nice when people want to be considerate.
Yeah. And, you know, in the world of things that are annoying, this is, you know, not top 10 for me.
My guess is that this is an example.
Yes. Yes. This is just one example. Yes. This is not the only thing that's probably happening. I mean, to just address this example, I guess I would just say, let the boyfriend jump in the car and then have the car drive down the street and then meet us. Like, I'm not going to walk down the street. You go get, if you feel like you want to get the car's attention 5 miles away, no problem. You do that and then just instruct the driver to come to where we are and then pick us up.
Right. Let them be them and then you be you.
Yeah. So I think that would be fine. Or, you know, there is a way to, you know, message the driver with more specific instructions about where you are.
Also, though, the driver at this point isn't lost.
The driver is not lost. No. No, we're just anticipating the arrival so eagerly that we're jumping the gun a little bit.
Yeah, and I understand wanting to help. I also think we could say, I love, as you said, never want to squelch one being considerate.
Right.
I love how considerate you're being. I so appreciate it. Let's let the driver, this is their job.
Yeah.
I know sometimes I tell stories that are not as parallel as I think they are.
Yeah.
But this really reminded me of, I went to college with this girl.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
This is
not related at all, is it?
It is really related at the end. Because okay. I don't think this person realizes they're doing this to the driver. My friend in college is a lawyer. I moved here to be in the arts. I was a cater waiter. I ended up catering one of her events. She came over and started helping me do things because she felt like she didn't want to put me out. Or she wanted to be extra considerate.
Okay.
But really, this is just what I do. I don't need you. Like, the driver doesn't need him to walk them down the block.
Right. Okay. So this is sort of like if we're at dinner and I actually hand my dirty plate to the waiter.
Yeah. It's the waiter
knows. I
don't
need to do that.
Yeah. And right. It's their job and they have no problem doing, you know what I mean? I had no problem bartending at this event. It's what I do. You know what I mean?
Okay. Oh, so this story actually is vaguely parallel
it
to what we're talking
parallel.
About.
It is parallel. You just had to get to the end of it. Because I think, you know, this person in no way means to do that. But by going all the way down the street, they're in some way saying, I don't know if you can find your way.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're going with that.
This driver's
okay.
Like, I do this like 500 times a day.
Right. And yeah. Okay. So I think the boyfriend in our story is coming from a good place.
Absolutely.
So we need to be able to have a little heart-to-heart with this person and explain what their behavior is actually doing. Even though they think they are acting and inconveniencing people, it's actually inconveniencing people. And so let's not do that.
Yeah, but with a kind heart, because it's very nice that they care so much.
Yes. Yes. This is all in the tone and the approach. We have to approach this gingerly. Because we don't want them to feel like they can't do nice things.
Right.
But they just need to realize that the nice things they think they're doing are actually not nice. Well, they're not nice. They're just slightly inconvenient.
And, you know, if a person's lost, then have at it. Go find them.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
But give a person an opportunity to pull up and everybody get in and how it works.
Yes.
How we've all agreed that it works.
Right. Right. Okay. So this is good.
I really like what you said about let the boyfriend walk down the street if they really need to do that. And then the letter writer can stay where they are and then they can come.
Yeah. I think that might be the path of least resistance here.
Yeah. Because in our home, I need to be at the lift when they get there. I hate the idea that somebody doesn't know if I'm going to come down. They think I'm going to be late. It makes me crazy. So I need to go down as soon as I've ordered it, even if I know they're not there. I'm that person.
Oh, okay.
But I stand in the doorway. I don't run up and down the block.
Okay.
My significant other is like, I'll come when they get there. So both of us are happy. He comes when they get there. I go down early. Everybody's happy.
And there's harmony.
And there's harmony.
So there'll be harmony if we answer your questions. So send them in.
Please.
Send them to us through our website, wereraisedbywolves.com. Or you can send us a text message or leave us a voicemail at 267-CALL-RBW. And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So did you know you can help support our show on Patreon?
We have a Patreon.
We do. And like there's tons of fun stuff there. There's videos, there's audio clips, all sorts of stuff.
I was just thinking about how many videos there must be up there by now.
Oh, there's a lot. Oh, there's a lot of bonus content that you have never seen if you do not join us on Patreon. So go to our website, select monthly membership, and see if that's something you'd like to do.
We'd so appreciate it.
We really would. So please check it out. And thank you.
Thank you.
And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
Did you know we have merchandise?
No.
Leah, you didn't? Well, it's true. There's mugs, there's tote bags, there's t-shirts, there's pillows, there's stationery, custom stationery, boxes of stationery, all sorts of great stuff. So go to our website and check it out.
And we're always adding to the pillow collection.
Yes. Anytime something comes up on our show, which is like, put that on a pillow, we do. So check it out. And we're back. And now it's time to play a game we like to call Vent or Repent.
Vent or Repent.
And this is our opportunity to vent about some bad etiquette thing that's happened to us recently. Or we can repent for some etiquette faux pas we've committed. So, Leah, would you like to vent or repent?
I'm going to vent, but I also want to give you the opportunity to go first because you always ask me and I don't want to constantly, you know.
How kind. Yes. So for me, I would like to vent. And I recently had a lovely picnic in a park near my house.
Oh, nice.
I live relatively close to Hudson River Park, which is very nice. It's along the Hudson River. And, you know, nice weather. There were quite a few people out. And I want everyone to have a good time. I'm not here to rain on anybody's parade. However, do you need to play loud music in the park? Do you need to do that? Does it need to be that loud? I mean, really? Like, I'm not looking for some sort of Zen experience. Like, I'm at Ranji and I need to languish in the emptiness of my mind. Like, I don't need that level of solitude. But do I need to have the extremely loud music blasting right there? Like, do I need that? I don't want that.
I was so excited as soon as you said, however.
So I would really like people to be mindful that etiquette is about being mindful of other people. And that has to do with maybe noise pollution as well.
Mm.
Like when you are very loud, you are affecting other people. And that's loud at a restaurant. That's loud playing music in a park. That's, you know, loud anywhere people are loud. So I would just be mindful of this, especially in a park. Let's not play loud music. That's all. That's all I got. Just, I would rather you didn't.
Watch Nick's ear space.
Yes, my ear space. Please. All right, Leah, let's hear it.
I feel like mine has a similar flavor.
Oh, okay.
Not sound. I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you. In the first couple weeks of the quarantine, this happened, uh-huh. And then I saw it again recently. So the first time, you know, it was right when everything started getting heavy. So I was extra, I mean, I was walking around with gloves and a mask and like a trash bag. You know what I mean? I was.
Yeah, it's full hazmat.
If I was going to the grocery store, there was like 8 layers.
Okay.
Blowing bubbles on the sidewalk. I come around a corner, a couple people blowing bubbles.
Like we're talking like a little plastic container. I'm a child. There's a wand. I dip it in. I'm blowing bubbles. I'm having merriment and whimsy.
Yeah, but but it's adults.
Okay.
Who's obviously, I get it. You need to go out. Something have, so, you need to do something or whatever.
I mean, I get it. I have to blow bubbles. I'm
you know, I mean, I understand okay. You're just, you know, people are losing it. I get that.
Okay.
That being said, one of the bubbles, it felt like it chased me. I dove behind a car. You are launching something you blew into, right. Into a public area.
Yeah.
At a time when we are afraid of anything coming out of your mouth.
Okay.
I get that it's quote unquote soap. No. It's like a surfboard. The soap is just serving as a surfboard for your germs. Please don't blow bubbles onto, I'm going to say, any kind of a sidewalk with other people.
Okay.
It's terrorizing right now.
Okay.
I come out of a corner and all of a sudden there's just bubbles.
Yeah.
I got to run.
I have not seen bubble blowing in my neighborhood.
Oh, just wait till you see it. It feels egregious. You're like, are you blowing bubbles right now?
Yeah, that is bold.
It is. That's a bold move. It is a bold statement.
Okay.
I can understand if it's like a kid who doesn't, but if you're an adult and you're blowing bubbles?
Yeah.
What's going on? What happened?
What are you doing? Yeah. Okay. So don't blow bubbles. Although here's the thing about bubbles. I actually dislike bubbles at any time. I don't like having this sort of dirty, soapy water like arrive on me.
Me either. I'm not a fan of bubbles in general. There's
not been a time in my life where I was like thrilled to have a bubble pop on me in a public space.
Oh, me neither.
Yeah. Like I don't want that happening. So I think let's just not have bubbles anymore. Let's end bubbles.
I'm fine with that.
We're going to get so much email from people.
It's going to be upset. Some letters from the Palm Olive people.
Yeah. All right. I take it back. Bubbles are great. I didn't mean it. Don't send me angry letters about bubbles. We love bubbles.
I appreciate the joy that bubbles bring. I think you can do it at this time in our history in your own home.
Yes. Let's have private bubbles.
Yeah. Or if you live in a place where there are backyards in New York City.
The rules for bubbles are different.
Yeah, we gotta watch our bubbling.
I mean, bubbles is really phase four, right?
Definitely phase four.
We're not ready for bubbles right now.
No.
Okay. Broadway show's open.
Bubbles.
Okay. So, Leah, what have we learned?
I learned about tree toppers.
Isn't that fun?
It's really fun. I mean, so off base.
So now when you see a tree on top of a skyscraper, you'll know.
I'll be like, tree shout out.
And I learned that if we get a lift, you are already on the curb.
I am.
You are ready. You're prone. You're just ready to attack.
I really am.
Well, thank you, Leah.
Thank you, Nick.
And thanks to you out there for listening. If I had your address, I'd send you a handwritten note on my custom stationery.
He would.
And I would.
He does.
And I do. And for your homework this week, no homework. You have a week off. Isn't that nice?
It's so nice.
Yes. You know what? You don't have to have homework this week. Although if you wanted to do some stuff for us, go to our website. We have some ideas. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Leah, it's time for Cordials of Kindness, the part of the show that Leah makes us do, but I only give her 30 seconds to say nice things. Ready, set, go.
I live between two pharmacies, and I wanted to say that they have been exceptional. You know, everybody kept everything so clean. Everybody was so helpful. I feel, especially in New York, where it felt very scary in the beginning, or definitely not just felt, was. And everybody showed up. They were working during a crisis. They were helpful. I wrote them both thank you notes to both of the pharmacies.
Like you mailed thank you notes?
Well, I sent it to the headquarters so they know that the people, you know, I feel like people are so quick to write negative reviews. Anytime people are great, I just want to be like,
they're not going to know what to do with it.
Everybody was exceptional.
Oh, that's very nice. And for me, we got a great voicemail from someone, and I'll just read it. Hi, Nick and Leah. I had a horrible evening involving the death of a pet. And so today was mostly about being home. I'm trying to get the will to do something productive, like take a shower. And I turned on your podcast and listened to you discussing decanting Cheetos. And then you said, you get the horses, I'll get the shotgun. And it made my ability to step into the shower a million times better. Thank you so much. I'm probably going to be laughing to myself about Cheetos for the next week or so. So That is very nice.
That is so sweet. I almost like welled up.
Yeah. Like, I think that's very nice that we made someone's very not great day a little better.
That's so sweet. So sorry about your pet.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that news. But I'm glad we were able to sort of help you through this. And so that kind of makes the show all worthwhile.
It does. That's so sweet.
So thank you. And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Incogni. And what Incogni does is basically helps get your personal information off of the internet.
What's so funny is that before Incogni ever approached us, Nick has been telling me to get online and do this because I never Google myself. I never look at anything. I don't have the bandwidth. And my incorrect age is floating out there.
Right. Yeah. There are serious consequences. Yes. So I've helped Leah sign up, and it is very easy to sign up. You basically just like sign up and you give them permission to reach out to data brokers on your behalf. And then they just like take care of it. They reach out, they request all this information to be deleted. They report back to you, let you know how it's going. And like, that's it. And so Incogni has an amazing deal for our listeners. Get an exclusive 60% discount. 60. That's a lot. So go to incogni.com/WYRBW. That's INCOGNI.com/WYRBW. Oh, Leah, one more thing.
What?
Have you signed up for Patreon yet?
I have.
Me too. You out there, have you signed up for Patreon yet? No? Well, go to our website, WeRaiseByWolves.com. Click on monthly membership. Check it out, because we would really appreciate it if you'd support our show.
We love your support.
We would. So please do that, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.